2-2 pitch. A swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
Welcome back to another Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, as always, is Dylan White. He's back for a couple weeks down. We are jumping through divisions, Dylan. You missed AL East. Ian Kundle did a solid, stepped in last week. We're moving to the AL Central this week. So we got a lot of interesting teams, interesting prospects to talk. How's it going up there in the Great White North, man?
Not bad. Just recovered from the hockey final, both hockey finals, but it's good. You know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, so...
There you go, Dylan. It's the right way to look at it. You have plenty of those. Hey, I'm a middle-aged man. I turned 44 last week. And actually, on the day, it was my birthday, the day of the gold medal game. That's the first time they've won it in my life because I was born in 82. So I missed the 1980 Olympics. I mean, I played hockey as a young man. I wasn't a bad hockey player, pretty good. And went to a lot of different camps. And I'll tell you, at all these different development camps, Dylan, Mike Ruzioni, the captain of that 1980 team, they kept showing him during the game. That guy has made a living talking to youth hockey players. I'm not kidding. He talked to 7 or 8 different development camps I was at between like 6th grade and 8th grade. Like every time I went to a development camp, we'd be like, here's an ex, you know, NHL or Kevin Stevens. And then Mike Ruzioni, I felt like I knew him personally. He was like Uncle Mike by like the time I went to high school. But yeah, I know as a USA hockey guy, it was, you know, it was bittersweet. I love watching this Canadian team too. Like, I think that's the craziest part of it is you're going to look back on the centers on this team. It's going to be like that 87, like Canada Cup team where they had like Gretzky, Messier, like Doug Gilmore and like, you know, all these Hall of Fame centers and Bork and Coffey and Larry Murphy. It's like the same thing, you know? And I could watch Connor McDavid skate like all day long. That's one of my favorite players of all time. I just love the skills. I was a forward myself. So, hey, that's too much hockey talk, though. Too much. But the Americans, at least, they're going to be okay with it this week. For my Canadians and our Jays fans, I salute you. You know I got nothing but love for our Canadian readers. All right. Let's jump right into it with AL Central. We got a lot of players to cover here. Let's kick it off with the Cleveland Guardians. They won the division last year. Just in case you don't remember, to those out there, and Dylan, who wasn't here last week, give 3 different categories. We talk about a couple of players. First category is a 2026 contributor. The second is highest upside, followed by underrated player. All right, Dylan. So we're going to start with the Cleveland Guardians, and we're going to start with a 2026 contributor. I'm going to kick it over to you first. It's your pick, man. Who are you going with?
So I think there are a couple options here. And I'm going to go with the guy who missed a game, I think yesterday or today, for a lower body injury. And that's Chase DeLauder. I just think if he can be on the field, he'll be a guy who has a good hit tool, pretty good power, like a nice kind of solid... you know, like 260 with 20 home runs type of thing. Probably good defense, so he'll play a lot as long as he's not injured. So I went with Chase DeLauder. I kind of looked at ADP for the last bit, and he's kind of going in the 20s. And, you know, I have him on a couple teams, so I think he's pretty good value there. He has some upside if he can stay on the field. I keep saying that, if you haven't noticed. But yeah, I went with Chase DeLauder.
Oh, I want to love that pick, Dylan. I really do. He's one of my favorite players. You know, a guy that was there as I like to say, when the gospel was written on DeLauder on the Cape Cod League and just saw a ton of them. And, you know, it's not the talent. It's not the ability. It's the ability to stay on the field. And one Roman Anthony once said to me that the best tool is availability. And I don't think Roman was wrong about that one. Staying on the field is incredibly important, especially if you want to be a 2026 contributor. For that reason, I'm going to pick a different one, and I'm going to go with Parker Messick. We saw a little bit of it at the end of the season. A pitchability lefty, unusual body, very funky mechanics, but very good release traits. And lots of pitchability, lots of command. He knows how to hit his spots. You know, do I think this guy is ever going to be a fantasy one, two, or even three? No. But in deeper dynasty leagues, this is the kind of depth starter that really can make a difference, because I do think he's going to provide pretty good ratios. He's not going to rack up huge strikeouts, but it's not going to be, he's not going to kill you in that strikeout category. He's going to help you a little bit. And I do think there's some runway for him at the back of this rotation. I know he's competing with a couple other guys. I do think ultimately he's going to be victorious, earn a rotation spot, and make 20 plus starts for the Guardians. It could be pretty darn good. So, you know, this is a guy dating back to college. He's never had the biggest stuff. He's an undersized lefty. It's an unusual body. You know, he doesn't necessarily look the part of, you know, a big leaguer or an athlete. He's probably, I don't know if he's listed, but he's probably 5'10", like 220. But he just knows how to pitch, Dylan. And that's been true since he was at FSU. And he's just always been a guy that it's really hard angles. And I think what we're learning more and more, whether it's hitting, whether it's pitching, is sometimes angles are the great equalizer. You don't have to throw as hard. You know, look at a Joe Ryan and some other guys, or, you know, any of the Rodgers, right? And I think he has that. So I'm into Messick. I think he's a 2026 contributor. The upside is not as high as it is with Delauder. And I probably would have picked Delauder if I went first. So I think I'm with you there, Dylan. Any thoughts on Messick at all?
I do like Messick. He has like a 106 plus or 106 pitching plus on Fangraphs. So like you're talking about the pitchability, like he's above average on combining the stuff with the location. I have him in some DCs too. He's actually going ahead of Delauder from what I see on the ADP.
Might make sense for a redraft. Like it might make sense.
Yeah. He's a solidly average pitcher who, you know, playing for the Guardians, they should get some wins. So like a 4 ERA and like a 125 whip, that type of thing. Lots of pitches in the arsenal. So yeah, I do like him.
It's good stuff. All right, let's move on to the next question here, and I'll kick it over to you first. Once again, who do you think has the highest upside among the prospects in this system, Dylan? You got a couple different ones to choose from.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a guy who I kind of wasn't even on for a while, Ralphie Velasquez. You know, there's a talk, he's not going to stick a catcher. Is he first base? Is he a DH? So I was kind of like not really on him. But last year, he kind of really popped on the Statcast. He had a really good barrel rate. His contact was better than average. And his 90th percentile exit velocity was very good, too, as a 20-year-old. So he had like a 128 hit plus number, which is one of the higher ones. So I think just based on the underlying, I see a guy who is like better than average batting average, better than average OBP, and like 120 WRC plus with like 25 to 30 home runs at peak. So I think that'll play at first base. And for a guy who I was off, I'm kind of on. So, you know, a guy who's going to have a 120 WRC plus with 25 to 30 home runs is pretty good upside. So I went with him.
Yeah. And I think just like once the weather got a little better, things started to kind of click for him. He is a SoCal kid. He was a Huntington Beach guy, played for my guy, Benji Madure, out at Huntington Beach. One of the great public baseball schools in the country. And you know, a guy that was known for the hit tool. I think he's a little bit better athlete than people even realize. Like he moves a little bit better. That's why they tried him in the corner outfield spot, but it wasn't great. He clicked. It seems like things just kind of clicked like June 1st on. He was another one of those guys where like almost like Colt Emerson, like he figured something out and it was just a massive step forward that he took. He's always had that pedigree dating back to his years as a prep. But I'm going to go with a different guy here for my highest upside, Dylan. That is their first round pick this year. It was a guy that coming into this draft cycle, but a year ago now, Dylan, he was considered the number one player in the draft. That's Jace Lavallette. Jace Lavallette dealt with some injuries. It was a hand injury, dealt with a complete shakeup at his school in terms of the entire coaching staff leaving and going to Texas after they made the College World Series final. You know, I think there's some of that stuff. It was a weird year to be at Texas A&M. He dealt with some injuries. He struggled early, started to get his footing late. They shut him down. The ability is there. The guy that I saw in the Cape Cod League as a sophomore looked like a future superstar. He's 6'4", 6'5", built like a house, athletic. The athleticism backed up a little bit last year. I wonder if maybe he comes into better shape, like a Josh Baez type, comes into better shape. You see him moving a little bit better out there. You know, all the injuries, all the nicks, the bruises, et cetera, have healed. And he's going to hit for power. He's going to get on base. And there's speed upside here. That when I look at their system, he's the guy that has the best chance of being a 30-30 guy. And for fantasy, ultimately, that's what you're chasing. You know, I ranked him higher than he was drafted in our FYPD rankings. And I think one of the reasons for that is because of what the upside is here. And I don't think there's a tremendous amount of downside. There's a lot of the same things that you like about like a Spencer Jones profile, one of those type of guys. I think with less hit tool risk, it's not that catastrophic in terms of the bat to ball ability. It's like a 40, you know, it's like slightly below average contact with good swing decision. So you can imagine, Dylan, it's like, you know, probably a guy that's going to have a 20 to 21% in zone whiff rate, but isn't going to chase a whole lot. Lower swing rate guy. He's going to take his walks. He's going to hit his tanks. He's going to find his barrels and he's going to run when he's on base. So, you know, I kind of feel like Jace Lavallette, when we're talking just pure fantasy upside, if everything goes to the 90th percentile, it all maxes out. Everything is, you know, sunshine and rainbows and rubber duckies. Jace Lavallette, you know, could be the highest upside guy in this system. I don't know if you've dug in on Lavallette. I know he hasn't debuted yet, but obviously you saw some of the college data and like all that sort of stuff.
I do like him. I do like that, he had a down year, so he's probably undervalued. He wasn't even in the NFBC player pool because I think he could debut. It's very possible he debuts at the end of the season. And so I was considering taking him at, in the 50th round or something like that, but I never pulled the trigger. But I think, he could be a sneaky guy to take at the last round of NFBC.
So let's move on to the next question here and finish off these Guardians. Who's the most, underrated system for player for you in the system, Dylan?
So I went with a guy who it's kind of the pedigree's fallen off. There's been makeup issues that have been in question. He's been traded. He was a high draft pick and then kind of fell off the map. And that's Khalil Watson. I just think that people are kind of off him completely. Well, maybe not, but much, much lower than they were before. But, you know, under the hood, it's not too bad. The 90th percentile is 105 miles an hour. He really barrels it. He has good angles on his hard hit launch angles are good. Pulls it in the air. The contact is a little bit below average. He also chases a bit, but, he kind of put it all together last year, more than he has in the previous years. So RoboScout has him as a above average WRC plus. Like a 250 batting average, 320 on base, so not great, but 20 to 25 home runs and like 10 to 15 stolen bases. So that's a nice little player if he makes it to the majors. That's at peak. He's still pretty young. So I just think he's undervalued for what he could deliver. Khalil Watson.
Yeah, I like that one. And was added to the 40-man roster this year too. So, there's a chance that a very good chance that he debuts. And if he hits and maybe the contact gets to a point, swing decisions get to a point where he's consistently getting to those barrels. He's improved a lot over the last couple of years. And I think kind of under the radar, because as you said, some of the off the field stuff, things like that, a lot of people had written him off. The name that I'm going to throw out there is a pitcher actually, Dylan, by the name of Yoermin Gomez. Gomez was, I think, actually added to the 40-man roster as well, alongside Khalil Watson this offseason. And Gomez was up to double A, hasn't been up to triple A yet. Did have a really good season, has thrown a lot of innings the last 2 years. So last 3 years, 102.1 in 2023, 122 in 2024, 121.2 in 2025. And Dylan, you know what that tells me? That tells me that he's a starting pitcher. The numbers have gotten progressively better as well. 4.40 ERA in 2023, 3.98 in 2024. At his highest levels, he's been a 2.96 ERA, 12-2 record across those 121.2 innings. More than a strikeout an inning. The command is pretty good as well, with a 1.16 whip. So he's not hit particularly hard. And the stuff is really not bad, Dylan. I feel like he's one of the more underrated pitching prospects at present. And it's funny because he's close to the majors and he's a guy that maybe should be a little more relevant than he is in NFBC because he is on that 40-man roster. So when we're talking about the pitch mix, four-seam fastball sits 94.5, so 94, 95, 96, was up to 97, averages 17 to 18 inches of induced vertical break, 7 to 8 inches of arm side run. It's a 4.5 degree VAA, so it's pretty flat, Dylan, 6.3 extension. And Gomez is 5'11", so it's above average extension when you factor in height, plus how far you get down the mound, etc. Mix is a harder sweeper at like 84. It's not a ton of sweep, but it's got that ride sweep shape that works, gets it in zone a lot, gets the fastball in zone a decent amount, gets whiffs with the sweeper, gets chases with the sweeper. His sweeper last year had a 43.4% whiff rate with a 42.4% chase rate. Also mixes in kind of a cut gyro slider, a shorter kind of curveball. He's got a changeup. He's mixed in some cutters as well. It's a deep arsenal of pitches. He's got a bunch of different breaking ball shapes. He's not super high spin on anything, but really has that pitchability element in terms of being able to ride, sink, cut, sweep, and run the baseball, which is something that's becoming more and more popular, more and more prevalent, is pitchers that have deep arsenals so they can attack you a variety of ways in different counts and situationally. I really like Yoermin Gomez. I think that he's a guy that should be rostered in most fantasy leagues, where 250 plus prospects are rostered, simply because of the short to the majors element. This guy could be somebody that gets a call up in April or May if they need a starting pitcher, if some injuries happen to that rotation. He's pitched enough innings that this isn't a guy that you're like, yeah, he's small, he's going to the bullpen. No, like, he's handled 120 plus innings in multiple seasons, and that's a great indicator that he can build up to 160 to 170, 180. And that's what you want from a starting pitcher. And he's got weird traits, you know? So I don't know how much you've dug in on Yoermin Gomez, but that's my pitch.
No, I like it. I just called up his RoboScout here. And like you said, deep arsenal, got a 108 normalized stuff plus, which is pretty good. That's like that's a higher than Carson Milbrandt, to break Jacob Rudner's heart. Who's a popular kind of sleeper this year. Carson Milbrandt has a 106, Yoermin Gomez 108. And just to put it into perspective, I'm just looking at these AA guys, Tanner McDougal, who a very popular, prospect this year, also being taken in some NFBCs on the White Sox. Maybe I should have mentioned him because maybe he'll come up later in this podcast, has a 111, normalized stuff plus. So like, he's in good company there, and, yeah, he's definitely underrated. So I like that call.
I appreciate that, Dylan. I was going to let it breathe for a minute there just because you like that call. So I'm happy. All right, let's move on to our next team here in the AL Central, the Detroit Tigers. I think the 2026 contributor, this one's probably going to be a little bit easier. But Dylan, hit me. Who's your 2026 contributor with the Tigers?
I'm going to go with a guy named Kevin McGonigal, middle infielder who will probably play in 2026 and do well just because the hit tool is so good, underrated power, even a little bit of speed. I mean, I don't have to explain to the listeners who Kevin McGonigal is. His ADP is sort of like 19, 18, 19, probably even higher now, like being taken earlier. And I think that's a good spot. Like, I would take him if not for a guy named Connor Griffin or JJ Weatherholt, who are kind of going in the same area. But yeah, I think he's going to be a guy that hits, you know, 250 plus, like that's his floor, and like average number of home runs, average number of stolen bases, I think. So Kevin McGonigal, pretty easy pick.
I think that is a really easy pick, and I don't even know if there's like another option. I mean, like, you could obviously go with Max Clark if you think Clark gets up this year. I think there's a good shot that he does. I you know, they haven't broken up him and McGonigal to date, so I don't know if they'll do it. But I think this could be the year where that could happen. So with that said, I had to come up with a different 2026 contributor. And the name that I came up with was Trey Cruz. And I think this is a guy that was really off the radar a year ago and still probably isn't fantasy relevant outside of deeper leagues. you know, your 30 team leagues, your leagues where there are 400 prospects rostered, I've grabbed him in a couple of spots. I think he's probably going to be like an interesting utility guy that can play a few different positions, you know, especially at a team that's maybe desperate for some defense in the infield. He can play third base, he can play shortstop. He's played in the outfield. He's played center field. He's played a little right as well. Had never really hit. He comes from a big baseball family. Finally, last year, things started to come into focus a little bit for him. He had a good year at AA and then moved up to AAA halfway through the season. Put up a 144 WRC plus at AAA. Over the course of the year, hit 279, 411, 456. The biggest thing with Trey Cruz has been the improvement in the plate discipline and on-base skills. There's a little power to go with it and a little bit of speed as well. I mean, he's not a speed demon. But with enough at-bats, I think double-digit home runs, double-digit steals isn't out of the realm of possibility. He is 27. He's a little bit older. But this could be the kind of guy that even if it's not with the Tigers, it could be with like another, you know, like the White Sox, a team like that, you know, a below-average team that's not really competing, that has at-bats. Maybe he gets moved for a reliever at the deadline, something like that. I think this is a guy that having around your dynasty roster, regardless of size, you know, I think maybe, you know, it's a certain point. Like I said, 250 prospects are under, you're not going to roster Trey Cruz, but he could be kind of sneaky. And if we're talking 2026 contributors that aren't Kevin McGonigal or Max Clark, we got to go sneaky. So there you go. All right, let's move on to the next question here then. Who is your highest upside player in the Tiger system, Dylan?
I'm gonna leave the guy who I think you're going to want to take, and I'm going to take Josue Briseño. He's a guy that we really liked, both of us really liked a couple years ago, that he had a bit of a down year, but it was kind of injury plagued, and then he kind of bounced back last year. Robusca has him as like a 30 home run potential bat. Really good numbers under the hood as well. High EVs, a bit better than average contact, doesn't chase all that much, barrels it up. He's young, may not be a catcher, but that'll play at first base, 30 home runs plays. Kind of no matter where you are, he takes his walk, so he's going to have a good OBP, and he's got good contact and good barrel control, so it's going to be a good batting average as well. So I got Josue Briseño, well above average WRC plus with, you know, 30 home run potential.
You didn't have to be so nice, man. I would have been more than happy to hand you my guy, Bryce Rainer. And I think there's an argument this could be the highest upside guy in the system, because if the hit tool continues to improve, it's huge power. There's athleticism. I don't know if he's a shortstop long-term. If he is, it's kind of a Corey Seager, bigger guy, but could be an excellent third baseman. You know, he doesn't have the hit tool of Kevin McGonigal. And I really, like, I struggle to say that he has a higher upside than McGonigal or Clark, but he might. I mean, he's a big guy with power, with skills, with some athleticism, could stick at shortstop. So I think with all those things kind of hanging in the balance, he could be the highest guy, upside guy in the system. And that's saying a lot, because this is a very high upside positional prospect laden system, particularly at the top. We've already talked about a few of those guys. So yeah, I'll go with Bryce Rainer here. I don't think I have to kill it or beat a dead horse. We know how good Rainer is and how highly he is ranked. Underrated player here. We already kind of threw out one in Trey Cruz, but there are a few in this system. You had two in particular you called out, a hitter and a pitcher. Why don't you talk about both of those guys?
Yeah. How you Lee, he always pops up on RoboScout. He's kind of like a tweener. He doesn't really have a position. He doesn't really have like any like plus skills, but he's just kind of solid all around. And he's always kind of been a bit younger than the level. So he always projects out well. If he makes it to the majors, kind of better than average WRC plus, solid power, solid steals. Like he's got to contribute. He's not going to win you any leagues, but he's the type of guy that, you know, as a depth player, he adds value. He always pops on RoboScout. So, I have to mention him, but the one I was really surprised at, kind of grabbed my eye is Andrew Sears, the pitcher that you're talking about. Don't really know much about him, but just he's popping on a bunch of things. His stuff plus is good. That normalized stuff plus I was talking about is a 111, which is better than Yordan Gomes and tied with Tanner McDougal. He's got a four-seamer, a slider, a changeup, and he also throws a sinker. The four-seamer sits 94. It's pretty flat at minus 4.5. True to the Tigers, like with Sawyer Gibson Long and guys like that, he's got big extension at like 6.8 feet. The slider is 83. It's kind of a tight gyro slider with kind of high, like above zero IVB, which kind of does well metrically for sliders. He goes deep into games. He averaged like over four innings, just below five innings per outing. So I think he's a starter. So yeah, I kind of have him. He's got good control too. He only had like a 5% walk rate. Doesn't strike out that many, but I think he's just a solid pitcher that probably could make it in the majors. This is maybe the back of the rotation guy. Considering he's not really on anyone's lists in a top 400 or something like that, I think he's underrated.
Yeah, he is. He was a D3 guy out here, pitched at Rhode Island College, which, like, when I first learned that, I was like, that's crazy. And then transferred, spent a year at UConn, and ended up, in pro ball. So I've seen him pitch a few times in the backfield, and it is good stuff. I think the pitchability is there. He's definitely interesting. So yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you there. I think that's a good call out. My guy that I'm going to call out here is a former high school teammate. This is a nice little trivia question. Former high school teammate of Thomas White and Jonathan Santucci at Phillips Andover in Massachusetts. That's Jack Penny, who a lot of people may know from his time with Notre Dame. He's another Tigers prospect, left-handed hitting shortstop. Dude, the underlying data with Penny is really good. The angles aren't great. He doesn't pull the ball in the air very well, but he does catch barrels. And his swing decisions and contact are excellent, Dylan. 15.7% in-zone whiff rate this season with a 16.7 chase, a 39.7% swing rate, which means he's got a 23% chase minus swing. You look at that metric as well as I do. You know that's a really good number, 23%, means he's swinging in the zone a ton. Doesn't miss in the zone when he does swing. And the EVs are pretty good. 90.7 mile per hour average EV, a 104.5 90th percentile, had a ball 110.2 this year. And a 22.4% barrel rate. Like I said, the angles aren't great. You want to see him lift the ball a little bit more, but he's doing everything else really well, and he's not a bad defender in the infield. So I think Penny is kind of an underrated guy. I just don't know how he, how things shake out with the Tigers, because this is a very talented system. There's a lot of middle infielders, but he could be a guy that ends up in the big leagues in the next couple of years and could be kind of interesting just based on the underlying data and all that stuff, Dylan. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Dylan, we're going to talk about our next team in the AL Central, the Kansas City Royals. We'll be right back. All right. And we are back. It is the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is Jeff Ponce. Alongside me is Dylan White. We're talking AL Central prospects for 2026 and beyond, kind of going through each team. We've already done the Guardians and the Tigers. We're moving on to the Kansas City Royals here, Dylan. This is another one where there's only one answer on 2026 contributor. So I will let you wax poetic on that gentleman. Who is it?
That would be Carter Jensen, catcher. Always been a robo darling. Like him and Sal Stewart are always the guys who pop, and that's like hard to push them and trade for him because he's not really getting the love. But last year, both of them, Sal Stewart and Carter Jensen, got the love. Carter Jensen debuted. He did quite well with the Royals. He was leading off a couple times. So he's a guy that's gonna split some time with Sal Perez behind the plate, but also play DH. Oopsie has him as a 240 batting average, which is pretty good for a catcher, and 18 home runs, 5 steals. RoboScout has him at peak with like 22 home runs, 108 WRC plus. Got good contact, the 90th EV is 107. He doesn't chase that much. He barrels it up. He's got everything going for him, and he could stick behind catcher, I think. So he's a guy that is going to contribute in 2026, and he's being taken pretty early. His ADP is like 14th round. It's a two catcher league, so that's why people want him, and he's probably gonna meet that ADP with the value.
Yeah, and I'm not even going to give you a second one because I don't think there is. I think it's Jensen, and you know, I was searching for a second one, and I really was kind of stretching there. Highest upside, Dylan. Who is your highest upside guy? I think there's a couple.
Yeah, I'm going to go Kendry Churio. He's a guy that flew through the system, DSL, complex, and even low A, I think 17 years old. Jesus Cano has written about him a couple times. Just really good stuff. What do we have here? I have him with a 104 fastball, 106 curveball, and a changeup that's better than average for changeups too, with a 108 normalized stuff plus. Just the fact he's so young and he throws 95, I think he's added 10 pounds of muscle. I think that's what Jesus reported today in his Guys Who Are Impressing on the Backfields article. Just impressive to go through the system so fast, kind of like the Yuri Perez track, not comping them. But just a guy who's young and has the stuff and has like the competitive ability and ability to kind of command the pitches too. So Kendry Churio, I think, has high upside. I mean, we have him like ranked second in the top 30 for the Royals. So it's not like we don't believe in the upside there.
Yeah, 100%. I think Churio, definitely a lot of upside. I struggle with pitchers like this where they're so young and the stuff is good, like not great. And there's really got to be command, and you kind of hope that power continues to add power and, you know, maybe adds a few more varieties of breaking ball shapes, etc. You know, it's not an arsenal that I look at and, you know, my jaw drops like it is with some of the, like a college pitcher like Dax Whitney, for example. My jaw literally drops when I look at that. Now it's different baseball and some of those things, you know, but it is still a really high upside player. But it's a profile that worries me a little bit. A profile that worries me a little bit less, though, Dylan, is a guy like Josh Hammond, who is my pick. A guy who was a two-way guy in high school, could have been drafted as a pitcher. Things really started to trend in the right direction at the plate, and then teams fell in love with him as a position prospect. So I think there is a lot of room for growth within his first year as a professional, his first year as a full-time position prospect and shortstop, third baseman. It's a big arm. Maybe he moves over to third base long-term, but there's big power projection here with some plate skills and a little bit of athleticism as well. So kind of put all those ingredients here. He was one of my favorite targets outside of the big names when it came to the prep shortstops in this class, and there were a lot of them. I think Hammond is a really, really good one to go after. And I think somebody that in FYPDs could potentially really pay dividends for his manager. So should be interesting to see how that shakes out. I like Hammond a lot. Hopefully I don't come back here in a year and have egg on my face if he doesn't produce. All right, let's go to most underrated player here and wrap up the Royals. Dylan, who are you going with for the most underrated player in the system?
Yeah, there are only two guys in the Royals in the top 30 that have been taken in NFBC. That's Carter Jensen and this guy, Lewinder Avila, pitcher, who I think debuted last year for the Royals as well. The stuff's fine. It's a four-seamer that's 95. It's not that flat. He's got a high release point, so not a high release point, but not a low release point, so it's not that flat. He's got good extension. So, you know, it's not bad. 95 is pretty solid. He's got a good curveball, which is actually his primary pitch. It got 45% whiffs last year in AAA. He also has a slider. He also has a changeup. So he's got like a starter's arsenal. And I remember before spring training started, I think it was the GM for the Royals was kind of hinting that Avila might be, you know, next up if they needed someone in the rotation. So he's a guy that might be able to contribute and, you know, be a back of the rotation starter, maybe an up and down guy, but you know, no one's really taken him. He was available in my FYPD and I don't think he was taken. So he's not really on anyone's radar, but I think he could contribute and he might give some sneaky value.
Yeah, I like that one. I think that, you know, when we're talking about underrated players, we're kind of talking about guys like that, that, you know, could get innings and could produce, and there's some traits to like, and, you know, sometimes it's, especially with pitching, I think so much of the battle is just getting to the big leagues and then getting the access to all the training and focus coaching and just kind of learning what it's like to face certain types of lineups day after day. It's just, it's hard to replicate that. You know, you can hop in the Rapsodo and you can replicate facing Garrett Cole. And frankly, you may face the best version of Garrett Cole that's humanly, like not even humanly possible, right? Like it's literally a machine repeating his best pitches over and over and over again. You can't really replicate that when it comes to the big leagues and pitching. You're never going to see a lineup like that in AAA. You might see it in spring training or some backfield stuff work and things like that, but you're not going to see, you know, prime MLB lineups in June when they're in full swing, they're in gear, they're ready to hit, they're healthy, they're doing their thing. It's really tough to replicate that outside of the big leagues. So I 100% agree with you. The name that I'm going to put out there though is Carson Roccaforte, outfielder, pretty athletic, a guy that they signed in the second round a couple of years back. Still another year through his 40-man roster year, but he had a really good year last year between high A and double A. Strikes out quite a bit, walks quite a bit, hits for some power. He runs as well. He had 18 home runs and 43 stolen bases. So like I said, it's kind of an all or nothing guy. It's a risky profile, but when the cost is as low as it is with Roccaforte to get him in dynasty leagues, I honestly think it's a worthy gamble because this is a guy that with playing time could hit 15 home runs or more and steal 25 or more bases, run a high OBP. So particularly attractive in OBP leagues, you know, and we'll see in the batting average, but you know, we've seen guys like this recently come up and have some success out of nowhere, like a Zach Cole with the Astros last year. So, and Roccaforte might have a little better of a hit tool. The swing and miss isn't quite as bad, but there is big power here. I think there's a lot to like. So he's a guy that I'm going to call out as the most underrated in that system and kind of a fun player too, Dylan.
No, I look at it here, and RoboScout has his peak at 101 WRC plus, 18 home runs, 18 stolen bases. So, That's pretty good contribution from someone who's pretty unsung.
Exactly. It's not a bad player. Let's move on to the White Sox. And I think we'll have some more interesting answers here. 2026 contributor, Dylan, I think there's a few that you can pick from. Who are you going to go with?
I'm going to go with Hagen Smith. He's kind of being taken in the 47th round ADP. I don't hate it as a flyer. He's never really kind of met the potential that he was being touted as coming out of the draft, but it's still a pretty good arsenal, 95 or 93 to 95 coming from a low spot, good extension. And he's got a slider coming in from that kind of tough look. And he also has a changeup. There's a lot of tail on the four seam and the changeup. So I think if he could put it all together and he makes it into the majors, which I think he will this year, he may not start, but in 2026, he may contribute in the bullpen. I don't know. I think he kind of turned it around last year compared to the year before. And, I'm hoping he can carry it through. I think the White Sox are kind of a sneaky team this year. And so I kind of like where their farm system is. I kind of like where the major league system is. This is kind of a pick off on faith of the Chicago White Sox, which I don't think anyone's ever said. I got to take Hagen Smith.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad one. I think Noah Schultz, another left-hander that was in the upper minors last year, has a really good chance to contribute as well this year. I'm going to go with a different one. And that's one, just kind of reading the tea leaves, some of the comments that have been made about Brandon Montgomery in the offseason by Chris Getz and others. And I know, of course, Chris Getz thought that Luis Angel Acuña was a switch hitter multiple times. So can't always trust everything he says, but I do kind of trust him about the roster. And I think there's a good chance that Brandon Montgomery's up kind of early this year. He was much better than I think people even realize, especially down the stretch on the second half of the season. The power's there. The on-base ability is there. He's going to have his strikeouts. I think that's okay. But I do think that he could hit in the middle of this lineup with another guy like Colson Montgomery. We've got a double Montgomery. We got some exciting players coming up. There's some guys that set the table in front of him and Chase Mydroth and some others. As you said, Murakami as well. They're a sneaky team. Montgomery, Murakami, the Triple M's could be a pretty dangerous power alley in the middle of a lineup for the White Sox. And there's upside there that all those guys could get better as the season progresses and they, you know, get their sea legs under them. So Brandon Montgomery is the guy that I'm going to call out. I don't think he's a bad sneaky grab in your last couple of rounds in a redraft league. I took Colt Emerson in my tout that I drafted earlier this week in my last round pick. It's kind of like those guys where it's like, even if I got to hold on to him for a couple of weeks, there is a chance that there is a fab, a get-in or whatever for this guy. And people are spending $700 or their $1,000 fab in week four or five. So I think Montgomery could be a guy like that. And this is a team that there's nobody holding them back and they want to see their returns. They want to see their returns for Garrett Crochet. So wouldn't shock me if Montgomery is up pretty early. Dylan, let's move on to the next topic here. Who's your highest upside? There's some really good picks in this White Sox system for this question.
Yeah, I'm going to leave the guy I think you're going to take. I'm not going to take Noah Schultz. I'm going to go Sam Antonacci, maybe. There are a lot of good options. I just like the fact
you could take Bonimer, bro, because I am 100% queued up to talk about Billy Carlson. So if you want to take Caleb Bonimer, then I'll just have to talk about both of them. But if you want to take Bonimer, he's all yours.
All right, I'll take Bonimer. He's the guy that I think you were getting comps to Gunnar Henderson last year. Just under the hood, better than average contact, better than average 90th percentile, better than average barrels, doesn't chase. 119 hit plus. RoboScout has him as a 270 with 345 on base percentage, 115 WRC plus, 20 plus home runs, 12 plus stolen bases at peak. Just arrow up for this guy. I think he'll be a contributor in the middle infield for the White Sox for a long time. Caleb Bonimer.
Yeah, and he is the easiest pick there. And I agree with you. I love Caleb Bonner. He's one of my favorite prospects. Agree with everything you said. I'm going to throw out Billy Carlson as the highest upside, alongside Bonner. I don't think that he is Connor Griffin. Okay. I don't. No, right? It's not the same body. He is a phenomenal athletic tester, similar to Connor Griffin. There is untapped potential with his swing and the development of him in terms of timing and approach and all that sort of stuff. Just like Connor Griffin, though, that was another thing that we said about Connor Griffin, right? This guy was an excellent two-way player, just like Connor Griffin. Like I said, he's a smaller athlete. I don't expect him to be the number one prospect in baseball, but he could go Mason Winn. He could be a great defender that is an average to slightly above average hitter. He can get to more contact. I think there is more power projection here than people realize, and there's probably some speed to steal some bases. So I don't know if this comes to fruition. This is a project in terms of him as a hitter. He's not a project as a defender. As a defender, he's a 70 defender at shortstop. It's going to buy him opportunities. If the bat comes along, and like I said, the engine is there that this guy could take a massive leap next year. This could be another top 100 guy in the system and could maybe push Bonimer permanently over to third base or second base, because this is their shortstop of the future if everything clicks. We've seen it happen recently. So, I don't want to write it off. He's a great athlete, played high-level high school baseball. It's a matter of kind of working out some of the kinks in the swing. If they can do that, they can get his timing on. Billy Carlson could be a huge upside pick for somebody this year. In FYPD. So he's going really late. I think a lot of people wrote him off. So good reason, All right, let's talk most underrated player for you in this White Sox system, Dylan. Who are you going with?
Who would I pick? I'm going to go Javier Mogollon, I think that's how you pronounce it. He was a guy that RoboScout liked not like 2 years ago. He was maybe number one in the system. He hasn't really come through on the projection, but he's got pretty good stuff underneath the hood. So he's got a 104 90th percentile exit velocity, the contact and in zone contact slightly below average, but he's quite young. He steals bases, he chases about average, he barrels it up. It's a power speed combination that he started to put together last year, the second half of last year, from what I remember, because I'd forgotten about him. he didn't do too well 2 years ago, but last year he started coming on in the second half. That's what I recall. So I just think he's a guy that, you know, people have forgotten about. Maybe they heard his name once or twice. And you know, I think he's going to crawl up the system because I think the underlying is pretty good and he's still young. So Javier Mogollon is my underrated guy.
I think that's a good call out, man. Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the underlying data, as you said, he's always a guy that pops for me. And then I look at the slash line and I'm like, why isn't he producing more?
Yeah.
You know, and some of it is those parks. Like, they don't play in a ton of offensively conducive leagues or parks. And I think that sometimes, like, until you get to AAA, and then Charlotte's a great place to hit. But like, I think that gets lost in the wash sometimes of like, there are teams that play in the Cal League and the Texas League and all these places where it's like a great Pacific Coast League, all these great parks and leagues to hit in. And there's guys that are in the Southern League and the Carolina League and et cetera, where Midwest League, where the ball just does not travel nearly as much. So obviously, you know, White Sox aren't Midwest League, but some of those other ones, they are. The guy that I'm going to call out as my most underrated, it's somebody that I wrote about earlier this offseason as somebody that you maybe wanted to target as an underrated player. And that is Harold Perez. He was traded to the White Sox from the Dodgers a couple years ago. It's excellent angles. This guy catches the barrel a ton, pulls the ball in the air consistently. His hardest hit balls are always at really good angles. It's a really high sweet spot rate. The EVs are, you know, okay. He's still pretty young, 20 years old. So it's about average EVs, but he'll get to more power than his body might necessarily project because of how clean he backspins it. Average skills, you know, average swing decisions, average contact, but the production and, you know, the expected production is pretty good because of how clean his backspin and angles are. And we see a lot of guys like that get a ton of production, you know, out of that ability. So Harold Perez is one that I will call out. All right, Dylan, let's take it home now with the Minnesota Twins and our 2026 contributor for the Minnesota Twins. Who is that for you?
I am probably going to go with recency bias here. He hit a couple home runs in spring training. He's always been good on RoboScout, but he had a down year last year. That's Emmanuel Rodriguez. I kind of like where he's being taken ADP-wise too, compared to maybe the guy you're going to take. Emmanuel Rodriguez takes so many walks, so very good in OBP leagues, which NFBC is not. But if your redraft league is, it's a good guy to take. His 90th percentile exit velocities are always very good. He was up at AAA last year. He's playing center field. He may not stick there long term, but 2026, he may play center field. Power, speed, maybe a low batting average, but he's hit two home runs in spring training already. So it's a guy who may make it up this year and have the 25 home run pop in the bat on a per plate appearance basis, with some stolen bases as well. But he's a guy that has had injury problems in the past. So, you know, it's more of a per plate appearance contribution in 2026 for Emmanuel Rodriguez.
Totally, totally understand. I'm going with Walker Jenkins as my 2026 contributor. I like Rodriguez a ton too. I think it's a really good call out. Jenkins just does the power projection hit because he's always been able to hit. The underlying plate skill data, so the contact stuff, the end zone rate, the contact rates, all that sort of stuff, the swing decisions, chase rate, the swing rate, the zone swing rate. Excellent. All plus plus. There's no questions there. Angles aren't bad. The EVs, the underlying power hasn't been there, especially for how big and strong and athletic Jenkins is. But I think some of it has just been him not being healthy. He had a little bit more health last year. I see him getting to it. I think it's just going to be like a switch gets flipped. And all of a sudden we're like, oh, he's got a 105.7 90th percentile with everything else. Okay, Walker Jenkins is about to hit 25 home runs. So I feel like it's going to happen. It could also be a fool's errand of me just continue to dream on this and maybe it just never comes. I don't know. Another guy I'll call out here, Dylan, just for the sake of it being another 2026 contributor who's on the 40-man roster, that's Connor Prelip. Really good feel for spin. He's got power, left-handed arm. Biggest issue with him has been getting deep into starts and really maybe kind of fits more as a reliever early on. Will be interesting to see how all of that tracks. He had his healthiest season to date in 2025. All right, Dylan, who is your highest upside guy in this Twins system? Kind of some interesting options if we stay away from the 2026 contributors.
So this is the guy who I think is going to be my breakout pick, and that's Kendry Rojas. He was a guy who was on the Jays, was carving up Double-A. He had a 40% strikeout rate and a 3% walk rate, that 57% ground ball rate. Like, it was just ridiculous. 22 years old. They traded him. The Jays traded him for Varland. Rojas was in AAA, and he kind of lost the command. He had a 14.7% walk rate, which is very bad, in 32 innings. Ground ball rate kind of went away as well. Didn't really strike out as many. But the stuff underneath was still good. He had a, just calling it up right now, he sat 95. He's a lefty. He sat 95. Good extension. It was 6.6, 6.8 feet. So the fastball's good. It's flat coming in from the left side. 95 is very good. He has a changeup that got 40% whiffs. And he has a slider, a tight little slider that sits 87 and also got 40% whiffs. So all the tools and the ingredients are there. And then he debuted this year in spring training, and he's now sitting 97 in spring training. So there's maybe another mile an hour that can be built up. The slider is now 88. The extension now is 7.2, 7.3. Like, I don't know if this is a hot Trackman or hot Hawkeye or what, but like, he's taken a step forward in the stuff. So as good as he was last year, like, RoboScout has him as a sub four ERA guy, even with a bad AAA, a 1.23 whip, just cause he's young. He's 22. He was 22 in AAA. And now if he's sitting 97 and his extension is 7.5 feet, that's pretty wild. So I'm picking him as kind of my high upside guy. I think he could be, like in maybe same conversation as Peyton Tolley-ish, in that, like, this is a guy with big fastball from the left side, huge extension. And he's got a three pitch arsenal, Kendry Rojas does. So I kind of like what he's showing this year. I want to see another start just to make sure it wasn't just a fluke or a hot gun or something. But Kendry Rojas is my pick.
He's shown that in spring the last 2 years, last year, and then he gets hurt. So as long as he doesn't get hurt and he holds the velo, man, I'm all in. I think the biggest thing with him is another guy has just been a health question. I'll make this one quick. My highest upside guy is Quinton Young. First rounder for them this year. I think nephew of what, Dimitri and Delman Young, just some baseball bloodlines. But he's a big and not physical like those Youngs were, more tall, like strong physical. It's like a James Wood type projection in the infield. If all this clicks, that's the kind of player you're looking at. Guy that gets on base, guy that hits for some power, runs, and it's just kind of this freakish, athlete that hits light tower, power, gasp home runs. So if you're into that, you're probably going to be into Quinton Young. So really interesting name in FYPD this year. And but a high risk, high reward type guy. So we'll see how that goes. So let's bring it home here with the last question. Most underrated player in the Twins system, Dylan, who is that for you?
I'm going to go Henry Mendez. He's a guy who's always been young for the level, has shown incredible contact. Last year, he had an 85% contact and 91% in-zone contact. He was 21, made it to Double-A, had 500 plate appearances in Double-A. His 90th percentile exit velocity is good, too. It was 105 last year, which is quite good for a 21-year-old, let alone a 21-year-old in Double-A. The knock on him has always been the ground ball rate. It's always been a lot of ground balls. He was traded to the Twins from the Phillies. Hopefully that, change of scenery will unlock something. I don't know. But, like, because he's so young, he's got such great contact, he has such good exit velocities. Maybe it's not the greatest angles, but, like, maybe he could figure it out. He's just a robo darling, and so I have to go with him. Hopefully he can put it all together.
Yeah, I think, the big question even with him beyond the ground ball rate is, like, the ability to play a position. is kind of a question mark with him. And you know, that's been something that's lingered as well. And kind of like, all right, how do you fit this guy into a 40 man roster and, you know, all those sort of things. So, but the stuff is, I mean, like, the under the hood stuff is really, really good. I'm going to call it a weird one. I this wasn't the easiest question, frankly, in terms of this system and who you're looking at and who you want to call out. I'm going to go with Gabriel Gonzalez. He had a really good year last year. It's a different type of hitter that I typically like because the angles aren't particularly great. It's contact over approach. He swings a lot. But he hits the ball pretty hard, and he knows how to hit. He finds the barrel enough, kind of despite some of these traits. There's some really good under the hood stuff too. There's enough power there. And though it's the bad body, he's kind of shown that he can play a solid enough corner outfield spot where I do think this guy could potentially get up to the big leagues, see some regular time, and maybe be like a sneaky fantasy contributor because he'll hit for batting average and he'll hit you some home runs and get you some counting stats and is really good in 5x5 type leagues. So if he gets the opportunity in the run, I do think it translates because he's kind of hit at every level he's been at.
Yeah, no, I definitely like him. He's also young, AAA. He's being taken in NFBCs. He's being taken like on average, like 59th round, which sounds silly, but like he's being taken at the back end because he's young. He's in AAA. He's got good contact. And like you said, the velo, exit velos aren't that bad either. So he's a guy that could contribute. Definitely.
And there you have it. That was the AL Central, Dylan. Whole full hour of AL Central nuggets for everybody that's out there. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank everybody for supporting Baseball America. It's why we get the opportunity to do what we do because of subscribers like you. Every day we are trying to listen to your suggestions, give you more and more content, whether it's on the prospect side, the college side, the draft side, and of course with me and Dylan on the fantasy side. So once again, we want to thank all you guys for contributing. Go and check out, we've got a ton of videos on YouTube, ton of podcasts coming out this year, this time of year. It's like 7 to 8 podcasts a week. So we got plenty of stuff. And then you go over to Baseball America and there's lists, there's in-depth articles, there's breakdowns, there's data breakdowns, there's Robo Scout, there's all the stuff you could possibly want. We even got hobby breakdowns now from Matt Pajak and Seth internally, who do a great job of kind of breaking down the card market and the collectibles market, all that sort of stuff. So once again, Dylan, for Jeff, thanks for tuning in. This has been the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast.
Cheers.